Chris doesn't buy the hype of random number generators throwing knuckleballs. Heath is now the oldest host, Scott likes using GIFs the most, Adam loves ERA and auto-tunes himself this way. Paxton's regression screams, Brooklyn's got a winning team, Liam Hendricks, Brad Hand, Mike Trout plays near Disneyland. Stats from spring training, daily play, is a rating, what's the ceiling, bank on ceiling, can I get up?
Welcome to the Friday Show, happy Friday, unless you own Jerry's Familia, $3 Neftali Felice, who else? Francisco Rodriguez, but that was like Unhappy Monday or whenever that was. Yeah. So bullpens are crazy right now. We'll talk about it and read your emails, fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Get you ready for week seven? Week yep. six? Oh, week seven? Wow. Any 6-0s for you guys? Any potential 6-0s?
No, my head-to-head leagues are largely a disaster, and my category leagues are largely awesome.
Okay.
So, I don't think I have any 6-0s upcoming either. Maybe some 5-1s. I can't remember.
All right.
I got a lot of 3-3s. A lot of 3-3s.
Oh, I got to beat Scott this week in the podcast league. I got to save my season, get back to 500. I need Mike Trout to keep stinking. That was a big break for me. So, Scott.
Speaking of podcast leagues, I have two apologies to make at the top of the show to make sure everyone hears them.
Oh, God.
Because I got some tweets about this yesterday. So, one, maybe three, actually. But one, yes, I overlooked Corey Evil Knievel when talking about the Brewers closer situation yesterday.
Yeah.
It's kind of because I'm not sure that he's any good either, and I got a little too excited about Mr. Barnes. But, yes, Knievel's probably the guy with his recent success that would get the job if they ever go away from Felice.
Now, it is
Knievel or Knievel?
I actually heard it as Knievel.
Yeah.
Knievel.
I think it's Knievel.
Knievel.
I was going to call him Abel Knievel.
I wish it was Knievel.
I'm going to call him Evil Knievel.
That's fine.
Two, I was really anti the whole adding DL spots. And after the last 4 or 5 days, I think every commissioner should give the league the choice. If one person says no, then you don't do it. But the right thing to do, we've still got more than 2/3 of a baseball season to go. MLB teams, in my opinion, are taking advantage of this new 10-day DL to the extreme, and we need more DL spots. Give your league the choice.
Okay, I'm going to vote yes, by the way, in the poll that you posted in the podcast for the People League. I support Heath Cummings.
Now, I think it has to be unanimous. I don't think you can change rules in the middle of the season if one person doesn't like it.
It already isn't unanimous.
But he also said, if I'm the only person, I don't care.
Oh, wait, am I allowed to vote yes, or do I have to consult with Scott before I vote?
Well, we can each vote. I am, I'm to the point where I don't even know why we really even oppose DL limits at all. Like, if you have the box checked in your league that it'll enforce when a player comes off a DL, you know, and a player's still in a DL spot, that's an illegal lineup. So it's not like you can just put a player in your DL spot and leave him there forevermore. When he comes off the DL, you're going to have to make a decision about what to do about him or somebody else on your roster. As long as that's the case, I don't even know why there needs to be a DL limit. So, you know, I'm fine with more than two. I think if we're used to two being the standard, maybe we should change it to four going forward. But I wouldn't mind if it was 10. I don't know that you can honestly say there's an option, at least in our league, that you could say infinite. But I don't know.
I don't know why
it needs to be a limited.
All right. Let's get into yesterday's action, guys, and we'll talk about Dallas Keuchel, Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke made an adjustment. He's been throwing his slider harder, and he's been very good lately. And he was outstanding yesterday. Flirted with a no hitter. Struck out 11. Jason Vargas has the lowest ERA this late in the season since Ubaldo Jimenez in 2010. And Jimenez ended that season with a 2.88 ERA. Did not have a great second half, though. But Vargas is doing some very impressive things. If Eduardo Rodriguez is still out there, you need to pick him up. Mike Napoli homer twice. DL galore. And we got to talk about prospects. We got Eddie Butler, Jose Barrios coming up to start today and tomorrow, respectively. Let's get to it. Let's start with the bullpens, though. Jerry's Familia, arterial clot in his shoulder. He may need surgery. That just sounds bad. So hopefully he's okay. And Addison Reed would be the guy to pick up. First of all, can we drop Jerry's Familia or should we wait?
I think it's okay to drop him probably, unless it's one of those leagues where there's just no saves at all on the waiver wire. Then you'll want to make extra sure it's not going to be just like a 3 month absence instead of full season. But either way, you're looking at an extended absence. And yeah. if like it's a league where Derek Law is available, that's probably more valuable than Familia at this point.
Okay. Well, who's the one guy that you need to pick up right now?
For saves or just period?
For saves. Or who are some of the, I mean, there are
Addison
a lot of names.
Probably either way, it's Addison Reed. I already have him in my top 15 relievers because I don't think he's going to be any worse than Familia was in that role, and he might actually be better. The Mets made Familia the saves leader, MLB saves leader last year, so it's a good situation for saves, and Reed's going on, you know, more than a year and a half, well, basically a year and a half of ace reliever type performance.
It's the only concern I have about comparing, because I think he can be just as good as Familia was ratios wise, but I'm a little bit concerned about if the Mets can provide near as many save opportunities as they did last year, just because all of their starting pitchers are hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. And now their bullpen's worse. You know, they don't have Addison Reed setting up to get to Familia,
but I still think he is very, like, I would definitely, I'm going to put him behind Justin Wilson, but that's still in the top 20 closers. So.
Well, like the reason I like Justin Wilson too. And you know, I think he has top 15 potential, but the reason why right now there's a big gap between the two is because, like, Addison Reed, there was never a question he was going to be the one to replace Familia if something happened to Familia. And we know Familia is not going to be back for a long, long time. I don't know that, because Justin Wilson's a left-hander, because K-Rod is still there, and I don't have a lot of confidence in K-Rod turning it around, but it's a possibility. He still has that the guy he's overtaking breathing down his neck. So I just don't know that there's the same security there that there is with Reed.
Do
like,
we know
Reed is the Mets closer?
Do we know that Familiar is out for a long, long time? We're just assuming. Okay.
Yes, it's either going to be what Matt Harvey had, which would put him out for the rest of the season, or it's going to be another kind of surgery. I'm trying to think of the example I saw. Yes. Oh. One of the Mets beat writers talked to Dylan G about the experience he had with what the alternate to what Harvey had would be. And still looking at several months recovery.
Okay. So last thing here. Well, not last thing, but Nathalie Feliz was bad again. Archie Bradley. I mean, Fernando Rodney's actually converted 3 straight save opportunities in the month of May.
9 saves and a 9.95 ERA.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's awesome. I want this to continue all year long. I want a 40-save reliever with a 6 ERA.
Sean Kelly and Coda Glover are both set to come off the DL very soon. We also have Jacob Barnes, who we mentioned yesterday, but it looks like Knable would be the first. Like, there are some options out there right now if you want to do some speculating. So, you know, who would you put on your bench? Knable?
Yeah. I don't know. He's behind Wilson. He's behind Reed. He's behind... there's nobody in Arizona I'd put ahead of him.
Not Brad.
I wonder about the San Diego situation. I mean, it was only Brandon Maurer's first blown save, but I don't think he's very good at all. And they've got 2 guys that could take that job if Carter Capps could get anybody out in the minors.
Yeah, so Carter Capps is trying to get his mechanics right. He has not been brought up yet, but Maurer had a 2.03 ERA, and he has 1 walk to 19 strikeouts before yesterday, and now he has a 4.61 ERA. He gave up 4 runs and a walk-off homer to Mike Napoli in a third of an inning. So he was having a nice year. But Carter Capps is another guy that down the line could definitely get some saves. And I wanted to point out Sean Kelly is only 56% owned right now.
Yep.
So
I'd rather have Kelly than any of those Milwaukee guys do, of course.
Okay. Would you rather have Kelly or Justin Wilson?
I would rather have Wilson.
Yeah, Wilson.
And I think, like, if you're in one of those leagues, like Scott said, where there's just nothing, I think Coda Glover, just let's see what happens. Because we know that they have injury concerns with Sean Kelly, and he just went on the DL.
Right.
So it's not unrealistic that at least they split or something like that.
No, I think if Kelly stays healthy the rest of the year, Glover stays healthy the rest of the year, and both pitch well, Glover's still going to get a fourth of the saves Kelly does.
What percent chance do you think is there, the kind of start the Nationals are off to? Like, what percent chance is there that they don't acquire a closer at some point?
20 to 25.
It wouldn't be any higher than that. Like, so I don't know that you're talking a long-term investment in either Kelly or Glover, and if they're splitting saves, that's ultimately bad news.
Yeah, probably. But it's, you know, it's bad news for Kelly, I guess good news for Glover based on current perception right now.
Sure.
So anyway, let's talk about yesterday's standouts. I'm not going to talk too much about yesterday today because I really want to do some – well, I got some fun segments here. For example, a segment called Adam Says a Bunch of Crazy Stuff and Maybe Scott and Heath Agree. I'm going to jump ahead to that one.
That's a long segment title.
Yeah, well, it's crazy.
Chop that up a little.
It's crazy. I'm saying crazy stuff. Maybe Scott and Heath will agree. There are only four pitchers that I would take over Dallas Keuchel at this point.
Okay.
Are the four pitchers Kershaw, Scherzer, Sale, and DeGrom?
No. They are Kershaw, Scherzer, Sale, and
Zach Greinke.
Justin Verlander.
What?
What about Corey Kluber?
I had a rule. I never trade for players on the DL. I broke that rule and I traded for Zach Britton, and I don't think I ever want to break that rule again. So
I don't know that that's a great rule, but okay. I can't go that far. I mean, I do think Keuchel's going to have the second best year of his career and probably be in the Cy Young conversation, but you know, a lot of pitchers were in the Cy Young conversation last year who weren't necessarily inside my top 10, and I think he might be in that range for me.
I wanted to move him up this morning because I knew that we would talk about Dallas Keuchel being awesome again, and I wanted to make sure, or I wanted to look at where he was. And so in a points league, I now have him 13th, directly behind Greinke, who has been better this year and has been better for most of their career.
He hasn't been better than Keuchel this year.
He has a lower FIP, a lower XFIP, and a lower CL.
ERA matters. Good. I finally got to say ERA matters. Zach Greinke, 279 ERA. Dallas Keuchel, what is it, like 150 or something? Dallas
169.
Keuchel, 169 ERA.
Well, how do you feel about Keuchel now that his K per 9 is 7.7? I mean, for an extreme ground ball pitcher.
That's I've moved him up.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he's, like I said, he's up to 13th now, so...
Oh, 13th for you. Oh, I need to move him up. I got to catch up to Heath now.
Oh,
and God. I happen to know Jake Garrietta's 11th for me. I might move Keuchel up that high.
Oh, yeah. Do it.
Do I want him more than Arrieta?
Oh, yeah.
You don't.
You do.
I mean, if Arrieta's velocity wasn't down 2 miles per hour, it'd be an easy no, but
look,
it is.
He's
I'm just
amazing.
Not sure how to reconcile that.
He's amazing. He was number four starting pitcher 2 years ago, Dallas Keuchel. He's just incredible, and so many ground balls. Everything's down, and yeah, he's. I don't know. I get it. The strikeouts aren't ace like, but the whip. I mean, he's gonna have a great whip. He's gonna have a better whip than Greinke.
Well, I think the concern is because he's not missing bats. Is he going to start giving up more hits that would then, you know,
like he
obviously
will eventually
hurt the whip.
Get up more hits. Yeah,
he will.
That's going to happen for sure.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, fine. So we've set our piece. You want to keep going?
Keuchel's great. He's number 13. That's wonderful. He's right behind Greinke, who has been phenomenal.
Well, no, that's the thing about Greinke. Like, he wasn't phenomenal. He was struggling, and then he had this great start against the Padres. And Scott said, sell high. It was the Padres. I think he had two starts against the Padres, right?
Yeah.
And now,
now he's dominating everybody.
After he got roughed up by the Dodgers, a couple of people told Greinke, you're not throwing your slider as hard as you used to. So he's been throwing it harder now, and apparently his slider has just been bananas.
Okay,
lately.
But you said he was struggling. He has one start this year where he's given up more than three runs, and two starts this year where he's given up more than three.
But you don't think he was struggling? You don't think he was struggling earlier? He wasn't pitching that well.
It wasn't long enough for me to call it struggling. It was
mild struggle.
It was influenced both by the velocity being down, which it still is, by the way. It hasn't really changed. And two, except for the slider, I guess. And two, you know, that was some carryover. We had some carryover perception from last year, which was obviously a bad year. But his last four starts, over 27 innings, Greinke has 38 strikeouts to three walks. I don't care about velocity at that point. I mean, he's been awesome.
He's been great. Oh, I'm not taking away from Greinke. But now do you feel like Greinke is back? Like there he is no longer sell high. He's Greinke.
I no longer sell high. I'm going to be moving him into my top 15 for sure.
And yeah.
He might be.
What a day.
Right on the heels there of Arrieta. I know Chris Archer's in that range too, so I got to start thinking Archer versus Greinke. That would still be a tough one because Archer's been on a nice run himself.
Jason Vargas has been on a nice run. 5-1 with a 101 ERA. And as I mentioned, lowest ERA this late in the season since 2010, Ubaldo Jimenez. Vargas, 7 scoreless innings at Tampa Bay. He now has 8 walks, 39 strikeouts, and 44 2/3. And he has had a somewhat easy schedule. Oakland, San Francisco, White Sox twice, Tampa Bay, but also Houston and Cleveland. What the hell? Top 30? Jason Vargas?
That's funny you say that number because I saw on Twitter last night and I was kind of shocked that our good friend Al had responded to someone's tweet and said he's in my top 30 now.
Oh, wow.
I can't move him that high. But he does deserve to go up again. It's not just all good luck. It has been some good luck. He's eventually going to give up some more home runs.
Yeah. But, and I mean, look, the whiffs we were seeing earlier in the season are gone. So now it's just command and forcing weak contact. And that's always dangerous unless you have the track record of Dallas Keuchel, obviously the extreme ground ball tendency. Vargas doesn't have that. I think he's a little more of a fly ball
pitcher.
He is
a fly ball pitcher, for sure.
So
makes no sense.
Like the best thing Vargas has going for him is that he's efficient and is old. So the Royals let him pitch as deep as he's able to go, and so few pitchers are allowed to do that I think he probably is more valuable than we've been giving him credit for. But, I mean, he's going to have some very ugly starts probably sooner than later.
The funny thing is he kind of reminds me of the J-Hap from last year when I kept saying, no, he's not this good, no, he's not this good, no, he's not this good, and J-Hap kept making me look stupid. So I feel like I have to just keep saying it about Vargas. But he's going to have a career year. Like, you can't get this far into the season with a 101 ERA. It'd be surprising if his season-long ERA was above 3.5 now.
Would you rather have Eduardo Rodriguez or Jason Vargas?
E-Rod. Not coming around to E-Rod yet, huh? All those strikeouts.
I'm not down on E-Rod that much. I don't know. Like, I need to move both of them up.
Yeah.
I'll say E-Rod.
Would you rather have Eduardo Rodriguez or Aaron Nola?
Nola.
I would rather have Rodriguez because he's already doing what I hoped Nola would do. Four straight starts of 6 innings for Eduardo Rodriguez with more than a strikeout per. And
this is
the walks haven't
high,
even
though.
Been bad lately. So
career high for Eduardo Rodriguez, 4 straight quality starts. I do feel like his progress has always been interrupted by injuries, and now he's healthy. I don't know if I should say always, but I really like Eduardo Rodriguez. We told you last week he was like in the 60s his ownership. We said you got to get him. Now Rodriguez is 81% owned. Last one, Rodriguez or Pineda?
I'd go Rodriguez there.
Ooh. Pineda. What'd you say, Heath?
Pineda.
Yeah. I just so conflicted on Pineda. I want to say I don't buy it, but now it's, you know, now it's like 7-8 starts into the season. He's still pitching pretty well, but I don't know if there's data out for yesterday's start, but 2 starts ago at the Cubs, he threw his changeup 21% of the time, which was almost
I know
high.
I know it's up overall, that up to like 10% for the year, which is, you know, it's more. We don't want him throwing the changeup too much because it's not a very good changeup, but he does need to throw it to give hitters something else to think about. So maybe 10% is the perfect amount. I think what would really be the game changer for Pineda, and I don't know that there's really a way to quantify it, except just, oh, look, the numbers are better, is it seems like the Yankees have made reference over the years to a lot of concentration issues.
Yes.
And mental issues.
Yes, exactly. Yes. And he's in a contract year. I really think that matters with Pineda.
Strange, the players that you identify as contract years mattering.
Why?
I don't know. It's just like occasionally there's somebody that
Because he's a guy that hasn't been focused. CeCe Sabathia has to yell at him from the dugout to stay focused on the mound. He's got an incentive to stay focused now. Like, if Pineda is someone I buy into in the just a theory. You don't have to believe it yourself. It's fine.
I feel like when you say that, you're basically saying this guy doesn't enjoy baseball as much as everyone else. He's not as competitive because he's not as motivated by just trying to win games.
Well, no, but I mean, you look at and look, I'm not accusing or accusing. I'm getting totally
Scott.
I'm using bad. I'm framing this poorly, but just to give you an example, and I'm not saying this is Pineda's situation at all, but Adam LaRoche, when he first came up, he would have issues all the time at first base where, like, he'd get caught up watching the play and not do what he was supposed to do on the diamond, and it turns out he had undiagnosed ADD and had to get that treated. I mean, that just shows you, like, what's going on in a player's head. I mean, it's not just a matter of him caring. It's just we don't know what's going on in his head, and if he needs help concentrating and he's getting that help now, then he could be better.
All right, guys. A lot to get to today. I think last thing on Pineda. He's still giving up a lot of home runs, so that's kind of concerning, but at this point, it's like I think that my thoughts have changed on Pineda because there are so few reliable pitchers that right now he's one of them. But I do wonder if you could get something good for him and if you should trade him, but I think we'll probably disagree on that, and that would take forever. So let me read this email. Mike just came in from George. Mike bleeping Napoli. After listening to you guys bleep all over Napoli yesterday, I dropped him, and of course he crushes 2 home runs. So I'm starting Mark Reynolds right now. Would you rather have Reynolds or Napoli rest of season?
Reynolds.
Yeah. I got a lot of tweets last night about, do you still think Mike Napoli is going to hit 15 home runs now?
Well, he's on pace for a lot more than that. It must have been he's going to lose his job.
Yes.
Your take.
Yes. That was my take. Because he was awful. And he had a good night.
He's kind of...
He's fringy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, with as many players are providing home runs right now, there's no reason to roster Napoli in a standard 12-team league. I wouldn't dream of dropping him in our 16-team league, Adam, because I'm pretty confident he's going to get hot at some point. Maybe this is the start of it, but you'll have chances to react to that beyond that.
Did you guys start
beyond
this
now?
Week?
I think in no, we didn't.
Did we start Yonder Alonso this week?
We did.
Okay.
Do
well, that's
you
good.
Know what your current score?
Yes,
is?
Yes, Heath. We know.
Oh, and 10.
Not Yonder Alonso's fault. He has half of our home runs for the week.
This could be.
This is it.
The end.
Yeah, this
like,
is
you
it.
You guys lose 10-0. Your season's over.
Yeah, we're done.
Oh, come on.
No, Scott, he's right.
It's way too early.
We're already in last place. I mean, we can't go 10-0.
But,
we can't
I mean,
go with 10.
Considering you can make up 10 wins in 1 week.
Well, some people can.
Yeah, I don't know that we can.
I'm not a quitter.
Everyone is a fan of the Green Machine right now.
I've seen some pretty dramatic comebacks in fantasy before, and I think there's good explanation. Like, our best hitters have done hardly anything. Mm-hmm. And if we still have faith that Encarnacion and Dozier are going to be good players, then there's reason to think our team overall could get hot too.
Yeah. I agree, but we can't go 0-10. That would be bad. Look, guys, you can get yourself to Indochino. Get yourself an Indochino suit. Take my advice. You're a grown up. Spend some money on a custom made to measure suit. And Indochino helps you save money on this, by the way. 50% off with our promo code FBT. That's a premium suit for $379 with free shipping. Promo code FBT at Indochino.com. It's really one of those things where you don't realize how valuable a custom suit is until you have one. Once I got my Indochino suit, which fit me perfectly, by the way, I designed it. I got my monogram. Once I got that suit, I never wanted to wear my generic off-the-rack suits again. There's just no comparison. I feel more confident when I'm in my Indochino suit. You really need to get one of these. And a lot of times they're $800 or more. So I get it. It's prohibitive. But with our promo code FBT, it's $379. Design every aspect of it at Indochino.com, Indochino.com, or you can visit a showroom and use our promo code FBT at checkout on Indochino.com. That's FBT for any premium suit for $379 with free shipping. News and notes. Trevor Story's on the DL with a shoulder strain. Kenta Maeda's on the DL with a hamstring strain. So I guess Alex Wood in the rotation, right?
Dodgers, come on. Do we really think Kenta Maeda's hamstring hurts at all?
Yes, he was pitching well.
You know, it was funny reading Dave Roberts try to explain this. He's like,
it was funny.
I need to find the exact quote. But
I know exactly what you're talking about. He basically acknowledged.
He was like, oh, you know, he did say something about his hamstring a couple weeks ago.
Yeah,
like, Dungeon Ryu has to be activated. They're bringing Rich Hill back next week. Let's cut a couple innings off for Maeda, give him a start off.
Yeah.
He even mentioned Ryu. He's like, and then Ryu was ready. It's like, whoa, are you confessing to this right now? Like, this is DL madness, but... All right, so we don't expect it to be long-term for Maeda?
No.
And I think Ryu just assured that, actually.
Ryu's hamstring started hurting last night after the game, so...
It didn't actually happen, but, you know.
No, I don't know. Are you ready to drop Ryu? He got blasted by the Rockies, but I mean,
ready to drop him? How owned is he?
He's like 45-ish percent.
Yeah, he's already scarcely owned in mixed leagues. And yeah, I didn't have a lot of faith in him. There was some, he seemed awfully hittable, even though the strikeout rate was okay. The velocity's not all the way back. And I know this was a Coors Field start, but it's easy to, when I already don't have faith in a guy,
that's fine.
It's easy to say he's just bad.
Okay. Jarrell Cotton sent to the minors. Sean Manaea likely going to come off the DL and pitch either Sunday or Monday. Robinson Cano was scratched with a sore quad. The Mariners did not want him to play on the turf in Toronto. Mike Trout returned. He DH'd. Adrian Beltre took BP. Kinsler and Dozier both back. Dozier homered. Lucas Duda likely to come off the DL today. We'll see what happens there with Rivera playing pretty well. I don't know that Duda's going to play every day. I don't know that he would have anyway. But Matt Harvey's going to pitch tonight. We got an email from Brian. Should I start Matt Harvey tonight at Milwaukee?
I don't think I would.
Scott, you've been talking all week about how he was going to dice up the Brewers.
I have a hunch we're going to see the Matt Harvey's best start tonight, but it's one of those hunches that, like, it's more of a I believe it in my heart than I believe it in my head kind of thing.
It's not like I've been looking forward to this start all week long, and I wish that Scott and I could go to a bar together and watch Matt Harvey at Miller Park, and just I'll cheer for my favorite park, and he can cheer for his favorite pitcher, and it would be so much fun.
It would be fun.
Why can't you? I have it on good authority that Scott White went to a bar just last week in Fort Lauderdale.
Wow.
Yeah, our friend, our buddy Nando was in town. I hadn't seen Nando since he stopped working with us, so that was where I had to see Nando, so that's where I went.
That's very nice of you.
I am looking forward to Travis Shaw and someone sliding down the slide.
Francisco Liriano on the DL with shoulder soreness. Ryan Brain could end up on the DL with a calf injury. My phone will not call him Ryan Braun. Ryan Brain, DL with a calf injury. Todd Frazier DH'd as Rick Renteria tries to manage Frazier's back issues. I'm going to put him on the drop-o-meter in a little bit. Luis Alberto Bonilla is going to replace rookie Davis in the Cincinnati rotation. Any interest in Luis Alberto Bonilla? No.
No.
Okay.
I'm not sure I've heard anybody pronounce his first name before. That was fun.
I don't know if I said it right, but...
It sounded good to me.
Yeah, right?
Good job, Adam.
Should be right. Denard Span is under-owned. He's 14% owned. I'm not saying he should be 50% owned, but he shouldn't be 14% owned. He's leading off for the Giants, came off the DL, had a big game. Also, Brandon Crawford is off the DL. And for you NL-only guys or girls, Matt Caesar batted second and started in left field for the Padres. It was Caesar's second straight game in the lineup. He did not bat second the first time, though. If you're playing a league where anybody who gets regular at-bats is worth owning, is Matt Caesar at least going to get regular at-bats, do you think, for San Diego?
No, that seems unlikely. Regular seems unlikely. Semi-regular, maybe, but, I mean, he's certainly not, doesn't have enough statistical upside in a semi-regular role for you to care about him.
Prospect report coming up in just a second. Right now, our email of the day at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. It's from Chris R. He said, I need a team name. Oh, man. I went so long. Every time I eat a Kind bar, it gets stuck in my throat. Finally, 28 minutes into the show. I need a team name involving Cody Bellinger. Any ideas? And I'm going to put this up to the listeners for Team Thames Tuesday. But we've had For Whom the Bellinger Tolls, like, many, many times. So it's got to be something other than that.
Please.
What about Bellinger, I Hardly Know Her?
No, I don't like it. How about Bellinger of the Beast?
No.
No.
Okay, well, good luck, everybody.
Why not, like, Kid Cody?
What?
Kid.
It's not very witty.
Who's
but
Kid?
it's better than trying to be witty and failing.
Well, I don't know. I like the A for effort thing. Who's Kid Bellinger? Like, who's Kid? I don't get it. Who's Kid Cody?
Well, Kid Cody, was somebody famous, right? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to Google it now.
Me too.
There are 27,000 Google results for Kid Cody in quotation marks, but it's not clear who Kid Cody
what
is.
What about?
It's just something people say.
Get in my Bellinger.
Get in my Bellinger. I like that. But Bellinger of the Beast doesn't work. But you make Belly. They're like, that's ridiculous. Okay. Prospect report. Are you interested in picking up Eddie Butler, who will start today for the Cubs at St. Louis, or Jose Berríos, who will start tomorrow at Cleveland for Minnesota?
Yes, Berríos. Very much so.
Yep. I don't know that Berríos is must add, but I found someone I was willing to release for him in all my leagues.
Yep.
In one league, I happened to lose Familia, so that was like, okay, I'll go ahead and pick up Berríos just in case he's awesome Saturday. In another league, I could drop Matt Shoemaker for him. I don't have a lot of faith in Shoemaker at this point, so I was willing to do it. I will probably drop Berríos if he looks like 2016 Berríos on Saturday, but if he doesn't, with his upside, and obviously he was dominating at AAA just like he did last year, I could see him having an impact much like Michael Fulmer did last year.
What about Butler for the Cubs?
I don't have much faith in him.
No.
Okay, he was doing great in AAA, right?
I got to admit, I haven't checked.
He was.
His minor league numbers in the Rocky system always underwhelmed me, and I didn't understand why this guy was such a big prospect.
Okay, well,
let's look at the strikeout rate in particular. 17 strikeouts in 30 2/3 innings. No, thank you.
Oh, that sucks. But a 1.17 ERA. But yeah, that's not missing enough bats. Now, but you could understand why that was a huge problem with the Rockies.
Yeah,
might be a little better with the Cubs. But all right, how about Rockies starting pitcher Jeff Hoffman, 8% owned. He just made a spot start yesterday, but
I will always bet against a Rockies pitcher until he shows me I shouldn't do that anymore.
And
until he shows me. I think I said she shows me.
No, I think that doesn't matter. I you know what? I like it, Scott. Very PC. He or she shows me. You never know. Now, Scott, who are the five prospects we need to stash right now?
So, well, one of them was Berríos, and so I think it's fair to say he's graduated from that distinction at this point. He was one of the newcomers to the list. No, actually, he'd been there before. Sorry. There were two newcomers to the list. I kicked off Lewis Brinson because Keon Broxton's tearing it up in the majors now. I kicked off Joe Ross because I'm not sure I'll be thrilled to own him, even if he gets called back up. The two newcomers are Rhys Hoskins of the Phillies, who has monster numbers at AAA, had 38 home runs in the minors last year, but it was at a notorious hitter-friendly park. People were writing it off. He's on an even better home run pace this year. Good plate discipline numbers, batting well over 300.
Rhys Hoskins, Phillies outfielder?
Yeah. Phillies first baseman.
First baseman, okay.
Spelled R-H-Y-S.
What?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't think Tommy Joseph is going to be able to hold him back for long. It's
cool.
I think he could be a big producer right away. And then Ahmed Rosario was the other newcomer. He almost got called up. If Asdrubal Cabrera's thumb injury turned out to be more than just a jam, it was a torn ligament or something that was going to sideline him for months, I think Ahmed Rosario would already be in the majors. But since that didn't happen, they're giving him a little more time. Cabrera's in a contract year and is not hitting very well.
He's not properly motivated.
No,
his brain doesn't work the same way.
So, yeah, I don't think it's going to be long before the change happens. Anyway, the other three prospects to stash, Yoan Moncada has been the case all year. Franklin Barreto. Athletics are not showing any signs of calling him up, but Marcus Semien down for a long time. He's still crushing it at AAA. Things could change quickly there. And I think that's it. I think those are the five.
You took Brinson off, but what if Braun goes on the DL? Would you think the Brewers would call up Brinson?
Probably not.
No. It'd be hurt unless, on Perez in the outfield every day.
Right, or... Yeah, okay. They have... Or Eric Thames in the outfield and Jesus Aguilar playing more. They have so many options on the major league level, particularly if we're just talking a short-term DL stint for Braun.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would be enough for them to make that move.
Okay. Trade talk, if we got any buy lows or sell highs. I've got a bunch of crazy stuff that maybe you guys would agree with. We'll look at the most added list, and then we'll help you set your lineup. Oh, I wanted to talk about five hitting surprises. I'm not sure if we'll have time. We do have much to cover, as usual. I also need to tell you about Harry's Razors, because this is something I love. I love a company that knows it has a good product and says, we are so confident in our product, we will give it to you for free. That's Harry's Razors, harrys.com/FBT, harrys.com/FBT for that free offer. I use Harry's Razors. It is a great shave, very close, very smooth shave. I really enjoy it, and their blades are half the price, if not less, of the razors you'll get at the drugstore. Is there a bigger ripoff than razor blades? Just stop it already. Get Harry's Razors. You know what you have to pay to get a great shave? $3. That's the shipping cost. Harry's going to send you a trial set for free. All you have to do is pay shipping. You get a razor handle, 5 precision-engineered blades, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover for $3. So get your free trial set right now, including that razor handle, the blade, 5 blade cartridge, and a shave gel. Go to harrys.com/FBT right now. harrys.com/FBT. Makes a lot of sense, guys. Look into it. All right. Anybody that you want to trade for or trade away, first name I'll throw out is, I think, a very obvious one. So if you're in a league with seasoned veterans, it might not work. But I can't see Kyle Seager being this bad. He has 18 walks to 19 strikeouts. He was bad at the beginning of last year. Like, Kyle Seager's been one of the most consistent players for 5 years, 4 or 5 years now. I feel like obvious buy low candidate, Kyle Seager.
It's very reminiscent of last year where all the peripherals looked great and he just wasn't producing.
Yep.
And he came around then. I expect he will this year too.
Yeah, I would be very happy to buy low on him. And I think you could maybe even like mix in a sell high of Jason Vargas and sell Vargas for Seager to somebody.
Anyone else you really want to get? I still want to get Arrieta before he makes another start. I still want to try to get Tanaka. I made a trade offer that I thought was fair. Heath said it was it. What was it again, Heath? It was Travis Shaw and Eduardo Rodriguez for Tanaka?
Yeah, that I don't think that's enough.
Well, that I think not. I could see how some people would go for that.
Yeah.
Heath's probably not the one you're going to get to go for that. But
well, no, I'm the Travis Shaw guy.
I know, but you're also...
a fantasy analyst.
Yeah. I don't think that was a terrible offer.
All right.
But I mean, Cargo, I'm not pushing really hard to acquire Cargo or anything because I don't have a great outfield need in many leagues. But he's still, I think, clearly a buy low right now. Batting under 200 with, what, 2 home runs or something? That's the most obvious one that comes to mind for me, but there are still many out there. I mean, the fact that Xander Bogaerts hasn't hit a single home run yet is strange. Now, he's hitting like 340, but his strikeout rate's also way down, which kind of supports him hitting for a higher average.
5 steals, by the way, for Bogaerts. He had 2 yesterday.
Yeah, so I still see him as a buy low. I still suspect he's going to approach 20 home runs when all's said and done.
I like taking on this, finding a sell high to mix with Scott's buy lows or your buy lows. So I'll just stick with that. I like Michael Conforto a lot. I think he's a very good young player. I would sell him high for Cargo.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not that obvious. You know, people might think Cargo's done.
Oh, I think people would take that trade.
Yeah, I was going to mention Conforto yesterday. I mean, he is having such a great year, and he's leading off.
They've not faced a lot of lefties.
He hasn't, no. And he's hitting, I think he's 4-for-10 against lefties, or 4-for-12.
3-for-12.
3-for-12. 3-for-12. Yeah, 4-for-10 was way too high. I knew he was batting 250, so terrible math on my part. But yeah,
40% strikeout rate in those 15 plate appearances. Yeah, I don't. if he doesn't play against lefties, he's going to have a hard time being a top 30 outfielder, obviously. And if he does, then it's probably going to hurt his ratios.
Okay, so I keep coming up with more buy low possibilities here, too. One I think I would be really excited to pursue because it would be a clear upgrade over whatever I have there is either Jonathan LaCroix or Gary Sanchez.
Yep. But LaCroix's starting to wake up, I think.
He's starting to wake up, but not in the obvious way Posey has. I mean, a week ago I could have called Posey a buy low, not anymore. And Gary Sanchez, I love what he's doing peripherally. Obviously hasn't gotten the at-bats to really capitalize on it yet. And just from the perspective of, okay, he's really done nothing for me all this time, I think his owner would be willing to move on him for a Michael Conforto or something like that.
And Salvador Perez is like such a good sell high candidate.
I was just going to say that. I don't know that I'd sell him quite yet. You've probably got another good month and a half of good production left.
People might know that though at this point. Like if people know that Salvador Perez is bad after the All-Star break every year, you have to understand what kind of league you're in if you have savvy owners. You know, then you need to sell him way before that. But yeah, you're right, Heath. I mean, it's not like Perez is going to be bad now. It's as soon as the All-Star game is over. Just like pack it up.
I mean, he has probably been better so far than he has been in most first halves, but
he's the number one catcher in both formats, Salvador Perez.
Yeah, he's going to wear down again.
Edwin Encarnacion, Rougned Odor, we mentioned Brian Dozier earlier. He's probably less than the other two. What I'd be willing, how cheap you could probably get him.
Okay.
I don't even know, and this is more topical, Trevor Story.
I was about to say that. Yes.
Oh. Well, you don't trade for DL players, Adam.
No, I wouldn't do it, but
I think it's possible his owner is considering dropping him right now. So I really don't think you'd have to give up much for the player who could lead the position in home runs from today forward, even factoring in the DL time from today forward.
I'll trade for DL players if I don't have to give much up. When I traded for Zach Britton, I gave up Dylan Bundy.
Yeah.
You know, so it is, I never, there's no such thing as never, you know, but I don't want to give up much for a player on the DL, especially like, okay, if it's a pitcher with an arm injury, that's a big deal. If it's a hitter with an oblique injury, like I wouldn't trade for Mitch Haniger. I don't know what Mitch Haniger's going to be like when he gets back. Oblique injuries have the tendency to like ruin seasons. But if it's a hit, what was Story's injury? Was it shoulder?
It was a strained shoulder, which
that's a little scary if it's real.
Yeah, it is a little scary. And I'm talking buying really low. That right. would be the only way I'd buy him. I'm not trading I'm not trading Addison Russell for Trevor Story today. But, you know, if it's just like my fifth outfielder or something, like Aaron Altair, who I just picked up off waivers, and a lot of people are probably frustrated that I got beat them to him. I could see maybe the Story owner going for that.
We had an email, see if I can find who it was from. It's from Brian in Cleveland. 10-team head-to-head categories league, 9x9. Would you drop Dexter Fowler for Aaron Altair?
No.
I think I might. If it's such a shallow league that Altair isn't already picked up, what's his ownership up to now? Probably like 60, right?
I'm going to guess it's 56. Heath, you want to guess? Aaron Altair? Yeah.
48.
58? Yeah!
58?
Eat it!
So it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be that shallow of a league, I guess, for Altair to be unknown still, but like if it's so shallow that you could even dream of dropping Fowler, I just feel like there's a clear limit to Fowler's ceiling that there's not to Altair's. I mean, I'm not going to bet on it, but I don't think it's crazy to think Altair could be a top 15 outfielder. There's probably about 40 outfielders who I could say could be top 15 outfielders, and he's among them. I don't know that Fowler's among them.
Yeah, I don't think Fowler could be top 15. It's a good point. Maybe in an OBP league, but no. I see what you're saying. All right, it's time for our favorite segment. Adam says a bunch of crazy stuff, and maybe Scott and Heath agree. After this, we will talk about the most added list and some two-start pitchers. And here we go. Evan Gattis will eventually overtake Carlos Beltran as Houston's primary DH.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he'll always catch some, and I don't think Carlos Beltran will never start, but I could see Gattis having more at-bats than Beltran going forward.
This is a stupid question, but are they carrying a third catcher?
I don't think so.
I don't think they'd like to do that on a regular basis where they're playing both of their catchers. But Beltran's been pretty terrible, and he's like 117 years old. And so I don't necessarily disagree with it.
Okay. Joey Votto is better than Anthony Rizzo.
This is probably right.
Right? It's crazy. they're very similar in terms of their like yearly home runs. You know, so I don't really know what Rizzo is better at. Like, he doesn't walk more. It just I feel like he's younger.
Oh,
we think
he's been a better power hitter.
Not much better though.
Votto has one career 30 homer season.
And three with 29. I mean, that's kind of
okay, good. but Rizzo's been around 35 back to back years, right?
Is it that much? And, I thought it was more like 32. I guess I'm wrong.
You're right. No, you're right. 32, 31, 32. You're right. Okay, you're right. It's closer than I thought.
I don't know if we ever really consider what if Joey Votto doesn't suck for the first 3 months of the season.
Which is happening right now. Like he's
right.
Not,
he seems to have changed some things. I think he's been more aggressive earlier in the count.
It's fun when you can be more aggressive at the plate and cut your strikeout rate to 11%.
Yeah. It probably is true. It probably is. The one hang up is that at the Cubs supporting cast, I don't even care what the numbers look like to date. It's clearly better than the Reds. Rizzo's going to have many more RBI opportunities. But I don't know that that's enough. I maybe do need to move Votto ahead of him in my rankings.
Kind
of
crazy. Okay. Aaron Hicks, 56% owned, will be the ultimate post-hype breakout. By the way, he drew 3 of the Yankees' 4 walks yesterday, and Hicks has 20 walks in 75 at-bats, so like 100 or 90, like 95 to 100 plate appearances. I don't know if they were bunts or whatever, but...
Did I miss the formal announcement where we replaced the Thames report with the Hicks update?
Aaron Hicks, ultimate post-hype breakout, guys.
I mean, Conforto isn't? Altair isn't?
Well, Conforto already had a good year.
Paxton isn't?
Okay, fine.
Paxton was plenty hyped. Come on.
That's true.
I mean, Hicks needs to have a place to play, right?
He, right now, is arguably their second best hitter?
Yeah. He started for Gardner yesterday, but it was against a lefty. They'll probably keep benching somebody for him, you know, 4 or 5 days a week, and someone will probably get hurt at some point. Like I've said before, I want Hicks in 5 outfielder leagues, but as tight as roster space is for me in 3 outfielder leagues, I just can't justify adding him there yet.
Here's one we're going to have to wait until next week for. One hit wonders are not worth anything more than a late round pick. That is definitely something we're going to have to look at. And no, I don't consider Gene Segura a one-hit wonder, but that is up to interpretation, open to interpretation. So
you're talking about Aledmys Diaz.
I'm talking about Aledmys Diaz. I'm talking about Jonathan Villar. I'm talking about Steve Pierce a couple of years ago. I'm talking about one-hit wonders, you know, and I need to go through the list and find...
But Aledmys Diaz has been good.
No, he has not been good.
Yes, he has.
He's
what
maybe...
What has he not done well?
What has he done well? I mean, he's been good.
He's homered at a good pace. He's made contact at a good rate.
He's like the 12th best shortstop right now in a terrible position. He's batting .256 with a .275 on base, .413 slugging. I don't think that's so good.
In terms of production, he's for the year, he's sandwiched between Xander Bogaerts and Addison Russell.
Addison Russell's been terrible. Addison Russell's batting .227, slugging .359.
He's got an OPS below 700. He's been bad.
Okay. All right. Well, add Aledmys Diaz to the list of buy lows then. Because
I don't feel like
he's been that bad.
Well, I'll tell you another
thing. The OPP is suffering, but otherwise he's been good.
I don't know that you'd say that a guy who has had basically no big league track record is a one-hit wonder. I'm talking about a guy like VR who had a pretty lousy, albeit small sample size, but really like a very uninspiring major league career. Then he's amazing last year. That's a one-hit wonder to me. But, okay, next week. Let's look at most added and two-star pitchers. Sorry it took so long, but it's going to take a little longer because I need about 5 seconds to get the list up, and I need less than that. Here we go. Most added players, Yonder Alonso, AJ Griffin, Justin Wilson, Aaron Hicks, Aaron Altair. Which Aaron would you rather have?
Altair.
Altair.
Trevor Cahill. Derek Holland, who was terrible last night. Scott, are you going to stick?
That coming.
Yeah, well, Scott, are you going to stick with Derek Holland, or are you willing to shake this off?
Well, it was probably by the time I came around to using him, it was probably already time to lose him. But
that's kind of the problem with the, one of the problems.
It's going to be hard to predict. Like, look, if there's somebody worth picking up, I have no problem dropping Holland for him. I have no problem holding on to him if there's nobody to pick up either.
Did you drop him for Barrios?
Yes,
in a heartbeat.
Okay,
like quickly.
All right, I will say, like, Holland last year, he had a good first half, except for two terrible starts. And other than that, yeah, he was basically throwing quality starts.
And just because I would drop Derek Holland for Barrios doesn't mean Holland is necessarily the one you out there in radio land should drop for Barrios. You may have
somebody
more obvious
than
to drop.
Derek Holland on your team. I hope you're playing in a 2014.
Look, he's 82% owned.
I know, and he shouldn't have been.
Okay. And I'd rather have Aaron Altair. There are probably players owned in less than 82% of leagues that I'd rather have than Holland. But, I mean, Holland's still a top 70 pitcher for me.
Yeah, I think I maybe did move him up last week into my top 100, but it was just barely.
Tell me if you see long-term potential in any of these guys. I'll mention a few names again. AJ Griffin, Trevor Cahill, Matt Andrees, Charlie Morton, and Chris Tillman. A.J. Griffin, Cahill, Andrees, Morton, Tillman.
What was the question?
Long-term potential, not just pitch and ditch.
I think Trevor Cahill has the most.
Yes, I agree with that. I have interest in owning all of those guys.
Except?
I'm not that excited about Griffin.
Yeah.
About who?
Griffin. All of his starts have been on the road except for one. Four of them have been against terrible offenses. He's not good.
I think Cahill and Morton both have the potential to be more than pitch and ditch.
Yeah.
And Cahill especially.
I think Tillman, especially in a points league, gets you some innings.
He's just going to be so vanilla. Like,
right, but
if he goes on a nice run that makes him look better than vanilla, like makes him look like Strawberry or something, then I am ditching him via trade in a heartbeat.
I would guess he is a lot like Irvin Santana and Jason Vargas the rest of the year.
Yes, and I'm all about ditching those guys. When I say ditch, it means trading.
Mm, okay, so you need a word that rhymes with trade.
Unless they do what Derek Holland just did, then you drop them.
You know what? Ditch. I'm getting my terminology. It's use them and lose them. It's not pitch them and ditch them.
Okay, I
use them and lose them.
Because I was going to say, if it was pitch them and ditch them, you meant trade, it could just be pitch them and switch them. Because you're going to switch
them. That's pretty solid. Pitch
them
and switch
them. Use them and lose them, though. I'm not going to switch things up now.
I think lose them could be dropping. I think you need something that rhymes with trade.
No.
Paid them and trade them. Grade them and trade them. Made them.
Use them and lose them. The idea being that if you
parade
them, Vargas, or you got an Irvin Santana, you can hopefully combine them with, if you got one of those two pitchers, and you've been playing the waiver wire in the outfield too, you got a Conforto, you got an Aaron Judge, you can probably trade an outfielder you actually drafted, for instance, maybe like a Justin Upton, and a Irvin Santana for a Jake Arrieta, get an actual reliable pitcher, presumably.
I like parade.
Get an actual top 15 pitcher.
Pitch him and switch him.
That's parade him and trade him. You parade him out there in your lineup and then you trade
him. All rights reserved.
That's not funny, though, because it's not, you know,
it seems,
use
it
him and lose him
right
has that whole,
I feel like it's funny. I think people are laughing.
Connotation thing.
But no. You say lose him could mean drop him.
Use them and lose them as a dating connotation thing?
You've never heard people. You've never heard people say that in the dating landscape.
No. I used to go on usemandlosem.com for dating when I was single. That's a joke. Ha ha! I'm very funny right now. All right, let's two star pitchers. Would you start Derek Holland next week at the Angels and at Seattle?
Two star Derek Holland. Yes, I would start. He's going to be a two-star sleeper.
Nope.
Andrew Triggs at Seattle, home against Boston.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let's see. We got John Lackey, Cincinnati and Milwaukee at home.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay. Eichhoff at Texas at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of good two-start options this week, doesn't it?
It's a start, yeah. It's a pickup, not necessarily, because these guys
because we're just barely outside it. Man, Eichhoff's down to 74% owned.
He's been pretty bad lately, no?
You guys...
I dropped him in a 10-team league.
You guys aren't reading the news, man.
He's had three bad starts in a row, and the other one, the fourth
right,
one, was
but
five innings.
He explained why he had them, and it seems like a perfectly plausible explanation
to me. I used
him,
now I'm losing
me.
Him.
What was the reason why for Eichhoff?
His mechanics were all screwed up. Lower half, specifically. He watched a video after leaving this last start and said he thinks it's a pretty easy fix.
Okay, I hope so. I mean, look, CeCe Sabathia said, I'm not getting my fastball in on hitters. He went out next start, didn't get his fastball in again. He got ripped again. So
he knows what he's doing.
But Sabathia's lost the benefit of the doubt because he's been not so useful in fantasy for a long time.
And that leads me to this. I might pick up CeCe Sabathia and start him in our podcast league. Two starts at Kansas City and at Tampa Bay. It's just because I think of all the free agents out there he has, you know, the widely available free agents. I think Sabathia has the best matchups of the two-star pitchers. And I do think he could turn it around. Only in a points league. Like, anybody in a categories league, I don't think Sabathia is going to help you in ERA, whip, or strikeouts. I think he could get you a quality start and a win, which is pretty points league specific.
Did you bring up that quality start just for the people league? Or are you trying to make a push to pick him up?
No. Okay. Maybe, actually.
It's 16 teams, quality start league.
Yeah, maybe, Scout. We should think about that. But anyway, who's out there that we could pick up? Chase Anderson at San Diego at the Cubs. Kyle Freeland, two road starts at Minnesota at Cincinnati. Jarrell Cotton is not going to make those starts. He's in the minors.
It's going to be Sean Manaea instead.
Oh, that's terrific. We'll start him, right? We'll start him?
Yeah, I'd be willing. Since it's two starts, I'd be willing to roll with him right away.
Like, all right, who do you want? I'm not going to read all the names. You tell me who people should pick up.
No, you're right. It got ugly fast. The range that, you know, I don't really consider somebody a two-start sleeper unless he's less than 80% owned. That's kind of the cutoff for me, just because there has to be a cutoff somewhere. So Eichhoff certainly fits the bill at 74%. Zach Wheeler at 73%. I think at Arizona versus Angels, I could go for him. But you get any lower than that, and it's just like, these guys are going to do more harm than good.
Yeah,
probably.
It's very possible. How about Musgrove at Miami, home against Cleveland?
I don't think so. I don't think so, Tim.
Who's Tim?
Home Improvement.
Oh, geez.
That was an Al Borland reference.
Straight
Al Borland?
Up most overrated show. I'm glad.
That's super corny.
I'm glad I got to give. Sure. But he used to win, like, Emmys, I think. It was so acclaimed back then. You had, like, The Simpsons on, and then you had Home Improvement. Like, give me a break.
Did it used to win Emmys? I'm going to look this up.
I've got a 26%
I think it did.
Two-start sleeper.
Who you got?
Jason Hamill.
No.
Oy.
Didn't he just allow 13 hits or something?
Over seven innings.
I mean, that makes it. That's the best kind of two whip.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got the Yankees, one of his starts. So,
but in Kansas City, right?
In Kansas City, yeah, that helps. All right, so Hamill's at the Yankees and at the Twins. There's honestly not one. I would have said Hyunjin Ryu at Miami and home against at San Francisco and home against Miami. I actually don't think that's so bad. I mean, San Francisco is just dreadful. But it is a little, even though it was Coors Field, it was so bad.
Who does two-start Tom have?
Is he a two-star pitcher, Kohler? Yeah. Houston at home and at the Dodgers.
Ooh.
No.
Oh, so Home Improvement did win Primetime Emmy pretty much every year.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, ridiculous.
For outstanding individual achievement in lighting.
All right, well, it was probably nominated. The lighting was terrible on that show, Scott. I couldn't see a damn thing.
It was nominated, like, for best comedy series, but Patricia Richardson, who played Jill Taylor, she got nominated quite often for Outstanding Lead Actress.
I am trying to go on a rant, and you are just not helping.
I'm sorry.
Well, you've been very parade and trade, Scott. You've been very dismissive of my ideas today. I think that's
it. A really well-lit show. It was not the Miller Park of sitcoms.
It was not well-lit. Couldn't even see Wilson.
That might be the funniest joke you've ever told.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think we're done here. Yeah, we're done. Have a great weekend, everybody. Really appreciate your listening. And we'll be back on Monday to recap the weekend, tell you who to add and drop. For Scott and Heath, I'm Adam. See you later.
Go Green Machine.